Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we've got Ryan Pinkala back on the show. Ryan is one of the co-stars of the very popular YouTube series, The Crappie Chronicles. He's a great follow on Instagram, and he's a great cook. He's a multi-species angler, all-around outdoorsman. We get into a bunch of great ice fishing topics here in this interview, and we do talk a little bit of cooking. So let's get into it. Ryan Pinkala on the JMO Podcast. The Onyx Fish App is the roadmap to your next great fishing adventure. The Onyx Fish App brings together all the great research tools that we talk about all the time on the JMO Podcast with all the top pros. I'm talking about satellite imagery, lake surveys, fisheries data, contour maps, the list goes on. They're all in one place now. Anglers in the Midwest have never had a more valuable research tool at their disposal. Head over to the website to subscribe today. Use promo code JMO for a discount at checkout. And I'll say it again, your next great fishing adventure that you don't even know exists can be found on the Onyx Fish app. For a great Canadian ice fishing adventure, I highly recommend Tamarack Island Wilderness Lodge, located in Ontario's Lake of the Woods, 45 minutes north of Baudette, Minnesota, on a remote island. This ice fishing destination is very unique, very big in adventure. It's peaceful, it's quiet, it's Canadian, there's no crowds. All that paired with very excellent accommodations. They have a variety of well-furnished cabin offerings that some host up to 6 guests. This place is a multi-species mecca where big adventure and great accommodations come together, and it's easy to get to. And for all the ladies out there that love catching fish and are interested in great adventures, check out the all-inclusive ladies fishing trip happening at Tamarack Island on February 6th through the 10th. More details on that event you can find online at TamarackIslandWildernessLodge.com or on Facebook. Those links are in the description of this podcast. Making great gear choices is a big deal when it comes to being efficient and effective each and every time we head out onto the ice. Head to SummitFishingEquipment.com to check out what they've got. As a pioneer of forward-facing sonar portability, their shuttle design and carbon fiber pole mounting kit make it super easy to switch from boat usage right out onto the ice. Again, head to the website. The link is in the description of this podcast. Use promo code SUMMIT10 at checkout for a discount. Getting caught up with you can go back as far as summertime, because that's the last time that I talked to you. But yeah, I'm curious on the big updates, fishing wise, what you've been up to, what have been some of the fun, interesting things, you know, that kind of pop in your head that that you could get us up to date on what you've been up to, man. Go ahead.
Yeah. Wow. I guess there's a lot probably from the last time we chatted. Yeah, I mean, I guess just most recent, like this winter so far has been like pretty sweet. Like obviously with all the Crappie Chronicles stuff, we've been doing some trips. We're like kind of in the meat of our whole thing right now. But like I feel like there's been a lot more people fishing like recently. So that's been like exciting, you know, kind of with like kind of the community aspect of like what we got going has been really cool. But yeah, we've been kind of bouncing around. Like we obviously have been putting out some videos, but like the travel aspect of it has been getting like bigger and bigger every year, it seems. So, obviously we're in the middle of winter, but we're like a little over halfway through our like filming season, I guess you want to call it.
Yeah. What's aired? I know you guys have done a bunch of fishing. Like we got to be careful about spoilers, I suppose, a little bit, but, I'm trying to find out the last thing that aired. What's the last thing that aired for you guys?
So we had a Lake Minnetonka video that just came out like yesterday.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yep. Yep. Yep.
But like, I guess over the course of like this fall/winter, like we kind of let off the year with like this like Montana adventure that we did it was like end of last ice season, but we held the videos because it's like, I don't know, YouTube's weird, right? Because like you get in like February time frame and it's just like ice views crash, and it's like even if you did something really cool, it's like nobody watches it kind of thing. Yep. Like it's just weird. So we just were like, this was such a sweet like adventure, whatever. We're like, let's hold on to that till fall. We'll kind of like lead off with it, which like it did good, but it didn't like smash, but it was still like probably one of the coolest trips we've all ever done together. So that was cool. Like just doing like a lake trout mission, and like, obviously there was more parts of it too. But like the lake trout part of it was pretty wicked. So yeah, we led it with that, which was kind of old news, I suppose, but we did like a really cool trip to Alexandria that we filmed this winter, that all those videos are out already. And doing really well. And like, it was just a kind of a cool way to like kick it off. Like, I know we've done like Otter Tail County and some other parts of the state before, but like leading it off in Alex was pretty cool. I hadn't spent a lot of time there before, so it was just kind of like getting some boots on the ground in a new area, and we caught a ton of big fish. It was sweet. So far, it seems like everything we've done, we have hit like the worst possible weather for every single thing we've done.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's just like how it is like for the Crappie Chronicles right now, or if it's just like our timing is just terrible. But like, it seems like every major cold front or like significant weather pattern that comes through, we're like, that's when we plan a trip. So it'd be different if we could like move them around, but I don't know. Doing stuff with a crew is like challenging, right? Like, I mean, if it was just like me and I was going to go, like I could push it off like a day or something, but like we got, you know, five guys, cause we do have a camera guy with us traveling around too. So trying to coordinate everybody to do anything, like we lock all this stuff down in like, you know, summertime when we're planning on trying to go to these places. So it's like, we kind of just rolling the dice and whatever it is, it's going to be. So, yeah, we just wrapped up, a really cool trip, I suppose. I think it's going to come out in just the next couple of days, so I could probably leak that. But we did just do like a really cool South Dakota trip that hasn't, you know, none of the videos have come out from that yet.
Had you guys been to South Dakota on Crappie Chronicles before?
No, this was our first time. And like, you know, we did came up by Devil's Lake, two winters ago. So that was kind of our only Dakotas venture that we've done. So this was like totally new. And this one has been on our radar for like several years. Like, it wasn't just kind of a spur of the moment thing. So, you know, we were just kind of trying to make it work, because after the going to Montana, it was like, obviously there was a lot less crap. Like that entire Montana trip was like 2 weeks long and one crappie got caught the whole time. So, you know, which was kind of fine. Like, it's not like it was that big of a deal. We were there for other things anyway, just the way it panned out. But kind of, you know, the show's based around it, so we kind of have to stick with that a little bit, which sometimes can be frustrating when you're like, dude, we can do so much cool stuff right now.
Yeah,
but it's part of it, right? So okay, so we wanted to lean into that heavier this year, just to kind of get back into it after having like a huge series of videos that was like totally unrelated. But yeah, so this I mean, I don't want to give up too much, because I think the videos are going to be awesome, but like, this was a totally new area for me, well, for all of us actually. But the interesting piece about like where we went is, even of the like crappie fishing I've really heard about in South Dakota, this is not where that happens.
Right on. So I like the sound of that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be cool for people to like see kind of a new side of maybe an area that really has never gotten much of any crappie love at all. But like, the cool part about it was zero expectations going in, other than research we did about like, okay, some of these lakes actually have big ones. But then actually getting to see, like, once you're out there and like probing around and starting to find schools of fish and then starting to key in on some of the crappie stuff and being like, ooh, there's a lot going on here that I don't think anybody even really knows about.
Yeah.
So, cause like pretty much every bite we were on, we were the only people doing what we were doing, and we don't get that a lot. Obviously, like fishing around here, even the other destination places we go, it's like, it's hard to get something to yourself, and being able to go out there and do that for like an extended period of time was pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think people are going to love the videos, because, like, I mean, obviously Bart, like, edits them, right? He crushes that. He's so good at, you know, telling the story and everything. But, like, having done this for, I mean, this is the sixth, it's crazy. This is the sixth year that this is, like, a show.
One of the things that I super appreciate, you know, just to kind of layer on top of everything you're saying is, like, as a fan, as a consumer, I really like that you guys work as a group, and it's impressive that you guys have been able to stay together this long. It's like, fans ought to be appreciating that. If they're not, it's like, it's really difficult to get everybody lined up and to do this for one trip, much less, you know, years and seasons of filming. But, like, but also too, on the ice, seeing you guys work together on the ice, and you know, talking about, like, you guys come from, you know, the metro, where, like, the fishing pressure and maybe even, like, just the human activity on a lake just doesn't, you just don't have the elbow room. But you get out into the Dakotas, and it's like, you can totally discover stuff when you're fishing, like, midweek. And it's like, yeah, man, like you have all that elbow room to work around to where, yeah, yeah, it's like, it's literally, it's like being in, like, an exotic place where even if you're targeting the same species, like, you just don't get to do the same things when there's just a bunch of people on the ice drilling holes, walking right around, driving machines.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, like you just said, I mean, we do everything as, like, as a crew, pretty much, you know. I mean, there's been times where we would, like, split up and do things too, but, like, we don't, I mean, we've included other people, like, periodically, kind of, like, come with us on some of these adventures and stuff, but, like, just, like, our core group, like, we've just developed kind of our system, right? And I think, you know, like, once you're in, I suppose, like, any sport, like, you have a team, and it's, like, everybody trusts each other and stuff, so it's, like, if we're, like, going to split up and be, like, okay, you guys go check all this stuff, you guys go check it, like, it's, like, we already know how everybody fishes, how everyone operates and stuff, so it's, like, every time we fish with, like, other people, you're kind of, like, oh, yeah, we have to, like, you know, like, explain this or that, or, like, you know, oh, did we overlook something, kind of thing, whatever. Yeah. But, like, I don't know, you just get so dialed in with, like, the guys you're with all the time, so it's, like, yeah, I think that's where, like, that hype naturally just, like, comes out, because it's, like, we're all working so hard all the time, and, like, you get on some of these bites, and yeah, I mean, everybody has, like, great days and stuff, but it's, like, to go on these trips, like, when you're, like, we have basically 5 days to make, like, kind of our goal is, like, we go on these trips, like, a 5-day trip, we're shooting for 3 videos. And, like, like, good ones, not, like, something we just kind of, like, oh, that was okay, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, you don't have a lot of opportunity to, like, flop, which is, like, can be a little bit stressful when you're, like, okay, we only have X days. Oh, by the way, it's also going to be the biggest cold front of the season. And, like, one day you're probably not even going to fish because it's minus 30 and, like, you know, it's blowing 50 miles an hour, stuff like that. That you're just like, okay, how does that factor into the game plan now? But that's ice fishing, you know? So it's like, but I think the cool part is, like, everybody that's involved in this project is just, like, so competitive anyway, like, grew up playing sports and all this stuff. So it's like, everyone wants to succeed, and it's not like, I don't know, like, I know people are like, oh, it shouldn't be like work or whatever, but it's like, you get there and it's like, you want to get it done. Like, it's like, you could just go there and be like, oh, this is just for fun or whatever. But you just get, it's like personal. Like, you get there and you're like, we got to make this happen, you know? So.
Yeah. I'm curious, you know, you talk about your guys' system. That's such a thing. Like for as long as you guys are doing Crappie Chronicles, I think I'm curious, and I pay attention to these stuff, like watching you guys work and how you communicate with each other, even just the subtleties, you know, just like, you know, just kind of paying attention to how you move and groove out there. But I'd be curious, like, if I could word a question properly, of like the skills, like what are some of the meaningful sort of skill development that you guys feel like you've done, even if you look back on, so like when you started with Crappie Chronicles, or, you know, you've known these guys for a lot longer than that, but like, if you look back, say, 4, 5, 6 years to now, what are some of the things that are, like, way more important? Like, if I showed up and you had to kind of, and you were going to send me over to a section of the lake.
Yeah.
And you were going to, and you know, I got my stuff, you know, I fish, you know, I'm there, I'm hyped, I'm telling you guys that I'm good to go. But, like, but you don't know me, we don't fish together. Like, what would be the things that you would make sure I'm going to do if I'm going to go check a lake and I'm going to report back to you guys so that you don't have to go feel like you have to go back and recheck my work or go back and check it anyways because you weren't confident that I did it right. What are some of those things that you feel like you guys have developed as a core group that might seem like it's old hat? Like, I'm asking you to kind of think of, like, you know, a layer deep here on this of, like, what are the things that you guys make sure that you guys do that you would have to explain to me if you were going to have confidence in me to go check an area properly?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's like a super loaded question, right?
That could,
like,
be very situational. It could be very situational.
So many variables. But
yeah,
like, I mean, there's a couple things. And, like, one, I mean, this isn't even, like, probably a specific, like, something you would go do. But, like, it took us a long time. Like I said, this is 6 years in the making getting to where we are now. And, like, granted, we all pretty much generally knew each other. But, like, weren't, like, super great friends, you know, like, beforehand. Like, we all knew each other just through, like, fishing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, not to the point, like, now it's, like, different, right? Like, everybody's, like, super good buddies and everything. But, like, it actually took quite a while for everyone to just be, like, at this point, it's more about finding the fish and getting them caught and, like, documenting the journey to that than it is, like, hey, I really want to catch a big one type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that, it didn't used to be that way. Like, there used to be, I think, a lot more internal competition between guys to be like, we got to catch, like, I want to be the one that gets on this bite or finds this or whatever. So it's like, now it's just a very, like, we got a really selfless group right now where everyone's like, let's find it. Let's get it done. Let's all smash, you know, like, this is, we kind of win together, lose together kind of thing. But, like, I would say, you know, one of the big things that we do now is we've kind of learned, like, okay, we can't film everything all together all the time. So it's like, for instance, we come to a new body of water and it's not going well, right? Because if we get on them right away, it's like, okay, everything's easy. But, like, when you get there and it's, like, not going down or you can't find them or whatever, then that's usually when we start splitting up. And so we typically are, like, in, you know, pairs or whatever, we'll go look around, or if someone's not there, it's usually we kind of employ our cameraman to do some of the stuff too. But even that's, like, kind of bringing in a new guy, right? So kind of like starting the system over. But like, seriously, we've gotten to the point now where it's like, when we do find them, it's like, we really don't, like, we won't even really pursue the bite until we can get everybody there. Because it's just one of those things where you're like, we might get one shot at this for it to go right. And what we could do with four of us instead of just two would be exponential. You know what I mean?
That's huge.
And that hasn't always been the case, but we've captured some unbelievable stuff in the past couple of years by doing that. And it's like, just how more efficient you can be with four guys, especially, like, the way we fish, like, everybody's seen it, right? Like, we do a lot of live sonar stuff, a lot of, like, sharpshooting. And I mean, like, having four guys there and getting on one school of maybe, like, say 50 fish and being able to have three guys fishing with one guy kind of quarterbacking everything, you might get a 30-minute window when it goes down and you're getting, you know, three times the content or fish catches or whatever and weeding through a school, and all of a sudden you're able to catch these 14s, 15s, up to, six, you know, 16 inchers. But if it was just one guy, it'd be like, you'd catch a couple and then they'd move a little bit and then you'd have to relocate them and then go do, you know what I mean? Like, you're just so inefficient that way. But yeah, I mean, I would say, like, the big things to have, like, something that we all kind of, like, trust each other on now is, like, I think we've all established, we've got good enough at, like, reading electronics and everything that it's like, when we're identifying fish that are not crappies is probably the biggest one.
Yeah.
And send, because, like, we fish with so many other people just over the course of years or whatever, where they tell you about something and you go and investigate and you're like, this ain't it. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Just going there and understanding, like, okay, what are these? And if, obviously, if you can catch one, even better, to be like, okay, confirmed. But, like, the amount of times you find fish and you're like, oh my God, these look like the right ones. And it's like a bunch of carp. Or drum, right? Or something like that.
Like 14-inch largemouth or something.
Exactly. So it's like understanding, like, what do they look like? How do they react when you do certain things? Because, you know, those are some of the things we do a lot is, like, especially on a school, it's like, it's one thing to find a bunch of fish, but it's another thing to find fish that are also catchable. So like, we don't spend a whole lot of time on a school if we don't think we can catch them. And like, that's, there's certain instances where we'll chase them around for a really long time just because we think they'll stop. But like, you know, if I find this school, even if it looks incredible, it's like, if I drill on them a couple times and I can't get them to sit still, it's probably not something we're going to waste our time on, because it's just going to take way too long to get it dialed in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, we, you know, our system, we've developed more to be like, we are always on the move until we find active fish. Like, we have pretty much zero interest in sitting on a tough bite, because there's, seems like there's pretty much always fish to be caught somewhere on that body of water. So you find them somewhere and you're like, wow, there seems like a lot of them here, but they're going to be tough. Let's just see what else is out there. Like, we can always come back, but like, this doesn't seem like worth our time, you know?
Yeah.
Which is weird to be like, wow, we just found this mega school of fish, but like, let's bail, because we only need to find a school of 30 that are willing to really do it, you know, when we have this 200 right here that don't care that we exist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we've even just like left lakes, you know what I mean? Like, especially on this most recent trip, like, we're on a spot and you spend half the day there, and then you're like, we have to convert today. And instead of being like, let's make it work here, we're like, let's load up all the machines and drive to somewhere we've never even been to and start over.
Yeah.
You know, type of thing. So it's like, it's just like having the trust in your guy. And it's funny, like, Luke, who's our camera guy, so everybody calls him Boots, like, in all of our videos or whatever. He's got a nickname that really stuck with him. So but he is, he's been with us for 2 years now, and he's great. But it's so funny, like, cause obviously he's there kind of like observing, right? And like capturing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's, you know, he's coming into this after we're pretty well established in like how we operate, how we do things. And it's just so funny. Like, we'll go back to, you know, an Airbnb at night after like something happened. And I would say, especially anybody that's watched the Crappie Chronicles long enough, sees that like sometimes it goes down like right at the end. Like, we might spend all day trying to make something happen, and the last like 30 minutes of light is when we make it work. And it seems like it just, I don't know why it happens that way. It just does. But even, you know, even him, he's like, he's almost like annoyed every time. He's like, I mean, I know I've seen this like a million times, but he's like, it never works like that for me and my friends.
Yeah.
He's like, it's like, you guys sucked like all day, and then it just like all of a sudden went down and we captured like some of the sickest like fish catches and stuff, and like back to back to back to back. And then we're like, wow, we did it. Let's go home.
Yeah. Staying ready, man. Yeah. Right. Like you guys like just never let your guard down, and you've been through it 100 times.
It is like a physical thing. It's like to go all day and roast, you know, 3 auger batteries and be like, we already drilled 200 holes. And then like, we just killed the battery that's on there now. The sun's already setting. Like, should we just go, or should we slap on another battery and give it one more, you know, one more try? And then all of a sudden you're like, hey, dirt. Like, they're right. You know, we're on, you know? So it's, yeah, it's wild. And I mean, obviously, like, me and all the other guys too, like, everyone's doing other fishing outside of like the Crappie Chronicles too.
Yeah.
Just more like, you know, fun fishing or whatever. But like, even when we all do that, and granted, we do a lot of that stuff together as well, but it's like, you go and do that and you're like, okay, that was cool. But it just doesn't have that same vibe, you know, of like when you're on the hunt and you're like, God, let's make this happen, you know, than when we're like trying to actually capture it, I guess. It's weird to, especially for anyone out there that's never been like involved in something like that. Like, if you're used to just fun fishing here and there and going out with buddies, it's like one thing. But like, to really put in hours to just be like, not only just to get on the fish and do it, but to like actually capture that is like, it's addicting, right? Because you get it a couple times and you're like, oh, we can do this, you know, like if we just work hard enough and stay ready, like, we're going to capture some really cool stuff. And We've been very fortunate to have it go our way a lot of times. So,
yeah, man. Yeah, those are huge learning curves, though. But I like your point about like when you guys split up. If you guys split up and you come upon something as a group, you make sure to rally the troops before you do like a full assault. I think that's a huge deal, and I think too, like for anglers that, you know, like go to seminars or they go to sports shows or the, you know, they consume content and they're trying to up their game in some way, shape or form. Like there's just certain things you can't buy your way into. There isn't like gear, like a piece of gear that you can buy that does all these things for you. Like having, like you just cannot replace two or three confidants, like, you know, soldiers with you.
No doubt. Yeah.
That can do these things nowadays, because the things that we're, you know, that we're talking about, like, you know, ice fishing and like fish, or, you know, whether it's spooky fish, some, you know, somebody running the forward sonar, keeping track of where these fish are at. Even if you don't have forward sonar, or even more importantly, if you don't have forward sonar, to have, you know, people like, you know, spread out and like covering an area and just doing all these things. And then, you know, just having the confidence to kind of, you know, relay information, and that trust in each other that you know what people are seeing, you know, when they say they saw crappies or they say they saw a bunch of fish and they're not sure what they are, you know, just that honesty. And then you can all kind of make way better decisions based off of that. It ends up in so many more fish catches, no matter what species you're after. But I think that's a huge deal. I feel like I've done myself a huge disservice, like kind of been a lone wolf a lot. Like when I fish by myself, like, I don't know if it's just, you know, like my schedule allows me to kind of fish when everybody else is at work. And so I just like, it's like whenever I go fishing with other people, it's just like a one-off, like get together with certain buddies. And it's
pros and cons to that too, right? I mean, like it's sweet to go out there on your own and be 100% making your own decisions too. But
oh yeah, the freedom, you know, there's a certain level of freedom when you do land on something cool or you do get on a good bite. It's you almost kind of feel like you have something, you know. It's like you have some information that's like, oh man, that's when it's like, oh man, I have a secret now. Who do I tell?
Yeah.
You know, when you find something by yourself, you know.
Yeah. But the team aspect has been huge for us. And like, we do go out on like scouting missions, like individually a lot too. And we'll find stuff, but we usually, you know, we got a pretty big like group text and Snapchat and stuff going. So it's like, even if I'm out there, like I'm shooting screenshots of my graph to the guys and being like, you know, here's what I'm looking at, or what do you guys think of this or that? Like, cause it's like, everybody's got a different eye for different things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, it's nice to work with people that are better at other things than you too. Like, I mean, yeah, we've been doing this a long time, but like, I can't even count how many times, you know, like Griff, for instance, he's like super good at reading electronics. So good. And, like stuff where it's like you go right by it most of the time, but then it's like, you know, oh, let's relook at that, and then it ends up, you know, turning into something. We're like, holy cow, like we totally could have missed this, you know, type of thing. And it's like the more you see it, the better you get at it. So it's just like, you know, everyone's got their things, and it's some days it's just your day too. Like, you know, I think everybody in our squad, it's like one day they're just on, whether it's running electronics or catching fish or whatever. And it's just like, when it's your day, and you just got to ride it, you know? And
for sure.
That's worth a lot right there, especially in the content game. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Whoever's on, it's like, get them the rock. It's like when somebody's, when somebody's draining threes, you just got to find a way to get them the ball.
Yes.
And then that hot streak dries up, but somebody else turns on, and I love all that, man. I like that. I like that group element. As soon as I remember like the first time I talked to Bart about it, I just thought, just being able to see you guys kind of communicate, how you talk to each other, what you choose, the information you choose to tell each other, you know, are just things that you guys are just doing, you know, without even thinking about it. But it's interesting how I watch it, and I'm like, oh man, like, you know, that those aren't the first things that come to my mind when I'm trying to, you know, relay information, or I'm, you know, working with the group on the ice. It's like, I got to think about that.
You come up with your own little like language too, right? Like we say a bunch of dumb stuff that probably a bunch of people don't even understand. They're like,
yeah, but it's, yeah.
And it's like just inside joke stuff or this or that, or from another trip or something that's like means something to us. So it's like, there's a lot of little things that play into all of that. But yeah, I would say we got some stuff figured out, at least on the teamwork aspect of what we got going. So it's fun.
Yeah, I think that stuff is excellent. I think that stuff's an excellent representation. And yeah, I mean, yeah, if I'm going to put, a bunch of thought, or if I'm going to be targeting crappies or anything in a certain, area, radius of where I live or whatever it is, I think having a thought of like for the next 10 years, who are some buddies of mine that are kind of down for it in the same way? And we should start working together, like making that a certain level of priority in the whole scheme of things, because, having that network of people to bounce ideas off of, even off the ice,
Yeah, it can't hurt, But I think the rest of this season should be cool for people, though. I mean, like I said, this South Dakota thing that we just wrapped up, I think potentially could be right there with some of the coolest stuff we've captured.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And just like unique, like just very cool, hot, high hype. Like there's just a lot going on in a very short period of time, like a lot of the days. And we made some cool stuff happen. We were in a very cool place. So I'm excited to see the finished product of that. But like you do it enough times that it's like, you can kind of see the video developing as you're like living it, if that makes sense, where you're like, mm-hmm. I kind of know how this is all going to go. And like, oh my God, like if this goes down tonight, like we think it might, and then it does. And you're just like, oh my God, this is so perfect. Like it's just, the story's writing itself right in front of you. And you're like, yep, we're crushing this.
For a great Canadian ice fishing adventure, I highly recommend Tamarack Island Wilderness Lodge, located in Ontario's Lake of the Woods, 45 minutes north of Baudette, Minnesota. On a remote island, this ice fishing destination is very unique, very big in adventure. It's peaceful, it's quiet, it's Canadian, there's no crowds. All that paired with very excellent accommodations. They have a variety of well-furnished cabin offerings that some host up to 6 guests. This place is a multi-species mecca where big adventure and great accommodations come together, and it's easy to get to. And for all the ladies out there that love catching fish and are interested in great adventures, check out the all-inclusive ladies fishing trip happening at Tamarack Island on February 6th through the 10th. More details on that event you can find online at TamarackIslandWildernessLodge.com or on Facebook. Those links are in the description of this podcast. Making great gear choices is a big deal when it comes to being efficient and effective each and every time we head out onto the ice. Head to SummitFishingEquipment.com to check out what they've got. As a pioneer of forward-facing sonar portability, their shuttle design and carbon fiber pole mounting kit make it super easy to switch from boat usage right out onto the ice. Again, head to the website. The link is in the description of this podcast. Use promo code SUMMIT10 at checkout for a discount. The Onyx Fish App is the roadmap to your next great fishing adventure. The Onyx Fish App brings together all the great research tools that we talk about all the time on the JMO podcast with all the top pros. I'm talking about satellite imagery, lake surveys, fisheries data, contour maps, the list goes on. They're all in one place now. Anglers in the Midwest have never had a more valuable research tool at their disposal. Head over to the website to subscribe today. Use promo code JMO for a discount at checkout. And I'll say it again, your next great fishing adventure that you don't even know exists can be found on the Onyx Fish app. Last fishing sort of topic here.
Yeah.
Getting into the whole travel thing with this Crappie Chronicles. And you're kind of a traveler. You fish all over too. Like arguably for the group, like you spread your wings a lot, even like multi-species, like throughout the year.
Yeah, I like to fish for a lot of different stuff, and I try to do a lot of locations and like, yeah, not just panfish, right? Like all kinds of other fish species, saltwater stuff. Just trying to just experience a lot of stuff. I always just felt like that would make you a more well-rounded angler. And like the people I always looked up to kind of growing up were people that did that type of stuff too. And I'm just like, okay, well, I see what these guys are doing and they're like really awesome at what they do. And I'm like, those are sweet adventures. Like, that was the kind of stuff that I was like, I want to do. Like, you know, yeah, I always did like bass tournaments and stuff, like did that in college and whatever too, and did some of it afterwards. But I was like, it never just was like, I'm just going to fish for bass. You know what I mean? And the ice thing kind of came on as like a secondary thing, you know, like also ice fishing.
Yeah. When you live in the Midwest, like when you live in the upper Midwest, it's kind of like ice fishing. It's in sometimes is just sort of a default winter activity, but you take it to the next level. But I'm curious about all that, because this is probably something that's more on the front of your mind, or somebody like you would be on the front of your mind, is like with traveling and catching crappies in different situations, different environments. Like, are there some specific examples, whether it's this year, last year, like in recent history, where you see yourself sort of learning different things, or sort of like little tweaks to your game that you bring back, you know, to like your home waters, you know, like that sort of thing, like when you travel, or how often do you feel like, you know, the other side of that coin being like, how often do you feel like when you travel, there's certain elements that are, you know, truly the same or close to the same, you know, sort of concepts when you travel? I'm sort of curious about that discussion.
Yeah. So I get exactly where you're coming from here. And yeah, I would say there are things, and like having been to some like unique places and just like seeing some of this stuff, and like, obviously like people think, oh, it's just like ice fishing is ice fishing. But like, right, we've done a lot of cool trips. Like we've done like Montana's the furthest west. We've gone like Montana and Wyoming, and then as far east as like Maine, right? So it's like we've gotten to see some cool stuff in like unique conditions, unique places, and like bites where it's like, yes, we're chasing crappies, but like all these lakes are totally different with like the other fish species they have in them, everything from like trout and like ciscos and, you know, stuff like that, to like obviously like muskies and pike. Like there's just like every ecosystem's a little different, right? Like you're just dropping into a new lake all the time. Like some of these fit, like, you know, you go out east and it's like they got fish we don't even have here. So it's like there's just like everything's different. But like when you're talking crappie specifically, it's like the more you go and see it, it's like, yes, I mean, obviously they're all doing different things because they live in different places, different stuff. But like the interesting thing is, I think especially for people that are like fish around, I'm just going to say like Minnesota is just a generality, right? But like, I think if you kind of cut your teeth, especially fishing like metro type lakes, which granted there's a lot of those, I'll say style of lakes all over the state. But like these lakes that have, you know, like a lot of deep weeds, pretty high abundance of forage, whether it's, you know, like around here, like we fish like down by Faribault a lot in those areas where there's a lot of bugs. And then, you know, you fish some of these other lakes where it's like, okay, they have a ton of like bluegills or perch or whatever they're feeding on. And then you start to travel around and you go to places where they do not have extensive forage like that. And the one thing is like, if you can understand how bait works in the system you're fishing, you're unstoppable as far as I'm concerned, as far as finding crappies, no matter, I think, where you go in the whole country, because, you know, we're coming from a place where there's like seemingly unlimited food for these fish. You know what I mean? And then you start traveling around to all these places that is not the case. Like,
yes,
they don't have great spawning habitat. There's not super high abundance of fish. They're eating weird stuff because they don't have the forage they really need to get big. And you start understanding, it's like, oh, if I can find the bait, like I'm going to find these fish, versus like just going out and being like, okay, let's go look at this inside turn of this basin or look at this point. It's like you start looking around to determine where the food's at and then break it down from there. And that, I think that's been one of our biggest, you know, things that like, yeah, I mean, it's great to, we do a lot of research, and if we're lucky, we might get some local intel before we like make a big trip like that. But I mean, I would say 80%+ of the time we're going based solely on information we've found ourselves, you know what I mean? And we're like, okay, we'll start there. And if we absolutely strike out, we might start asking some questions. But it's like, we've struck out enough times on other people's help that we're like, we would rather do it ourselves and go down swinging than bank that we got good information. And so I would say that's one thing, would just be like, understand how bait works, even if it's on the lake in your backyard, and it will help you tenfold every time you go to a new body of water. And just understanding like how fish position depending on what they're eating. Like, oh, if they're eating bugs and stuff, like I'm probably not going to be fishing areas that have a lot of hard bottom. You know what I mean? And stuff like that. Like something as simple as that. Like I'm going to be probably fishing like mud transitions or something like that. And just understanding what they're feeding on. And we do it a lot. I mean, we keep a ton of fish. Like you've seen our show, like we cook all the time. And that's something that I probably just got addicted to that when I was a kid or whatever, but I would like, if I'm cleaning fish, like I'm cutting open their bellies to see what's in them, like all the time. And like, sometimes that has been like a major thing too, to be like, wow, like we were catching on this particular bait, but like now I'm seeing what they're actually eating and I'm changing everything I got tied on. You know what I mean? And, so that's been kind of interesting, but, I would say the biggest key to just like traveling and being successful more often, and probably not even, I mean, yeah, I think this directly applies to ice fishing for crappies, but a lot of other species too, from what I've seen, is just like, I feel like every time it's funny. Cause like I said, we have this big group text and everything. That's like every time we're planning a trip, we're always texting about like, oh, we should get this baits or this or these, like all this stuff. But no matter how much we text about it, when we get to where we're going, we always have the exact same crap tied on. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we had all these grand ideas and all this stuff, but just having like, we have baits, we have high confidence in that. It's like, if I get around them, I can get them to eat these three things. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, maybe I can get them on something else, but I guarantee they're going to bite one of these things. And everybody's got those couple of baits, right? It's like for us, yeah, okay, maybe I got, you know, pretty much it's like a pinhead minnow, a flutter fry, and like a soldier fly, like, you know, two plastics and like basically a spoon. But it's like there's a lot of brands of stuff out there and they all work, but I don't have confidence in any of those.
Yeah.
So it's like I got my one little box that fits like, you know, you've been in the game for a long time too. It's like, you got endless gear, equipment, tackle. Like I got piles of stuff, but like for 90% of my season, I use the stuff that fits in one bibs pocket. You know what I mean?
100%. There's something satisfying about going somewhere and catching them on a confidence bait as well. Like the time and a place, you know, my two cents would be like, I like gaining confidence in new things, but sometimes there's sort of a specific scenario that has to happen for me to kind of lean into that, where you just get on like some suicidal bite.
Right.
And it's something that you're willing to kind of go through the paces of that process to like gain confidence in something else. So like when that arises and we're all just laughing because, you know, we've already caught a dozen apiece. And it's like, you know, then I will sort of consciously like start, you'll be like, you know what? I do have all this like 40 pounds of tackle that I haven't used for 5 years.
Yeah.
Maybe I should dig into some of that stuff. But man, when you are traveling, when you are covering new water and you're doing the whole game that we're talking about, that is like, is the deal, growing as an angler, gaining confidence on new, you know, being on fresh ice or a totally new lake or a destination area, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like having the presentation thing distilled down to your confidence baits is kind of an important element to that.
Oh, I think it's massive. Cause it's like, not only is it like, oh, I know I can get them, but like, I know how to trigger them with that exact bait. Not like I'm kind of trying something out and it's like, oh, I'm not letting it fall quite right. Like, I don't know. I'm just messing around. It's like, no, I tie this on. It's like, tie on the bait you've already caught 5,000 crappies on. And you're like, yep, that's the one. Like, That's mm-hmm. going to get it done. So I mean, I think that's a huge piece, just like, because when you do research, you find all this stuff, right? Like you're going to go to this lake and oh, they only eat this color and it's this, use this size or this bait or whatever. And it's like, that's all great. But like, if you never use that, don't get that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like I can't tell you how many times we've gone to places where, like I said, somebody will tell us, oh, we heard you guys are coming out here. Like you're going to this place, like definitely do this. And most of the time, like we're at the point now where we're like, if somebody says that, maybe I keep it in the back of my mind, but I'm like, probably not going to do that. Well, it might work for them, but it's probably not going to work for me. You know what I mean? Like it's, so it's like,
yeah, it's not a lie. It's not blasphemy, right? Cause that person's probably coming from a good place.
Right. And it probably does work for them, but I'm like, that's you and not me. And like, I need it to work for me when I'm there. Like,
yep.
So it's like, you know, when they're like, you got to have this particular bait and, you know, oh, they don't eat anything that doesn't have live this on it or that on it. And then you go there and you blast them on a pinhead and you're like, I don't know. It seemed like that worked pretty good. So,
yeah.
So that's been our experience with it. But I mean, I don't even think it matters what species you're targeting. It's just like have those, figure out your confidence based on that thing. And yeah, it doesn't hurt to pick up something new now and again, but it's like some of these things just work so well that it's like, why am I even messing around?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and especially when it's like, we need to convert. Like I want to go there and it's like, I could just dink around and catch a few here, catch a few there. But I'm like, I always want to smash, you know? And it's like,
yeah.
Okay. If I caught three, what can I do to catch 20? You know, or
yep.
What can I level up? And maybe it's a color thing. Maybe it's just a size. I don't know. But I think keeping things simple as far as tackle goes is a huge one. And, you know, that it seems like our first trips of the year are always these ones where we thought we were going to do all this new stuff. And then by the second time out, you're like, okay, that was funny. Like, we'll just go back and do everything we thought we were going to do anyways.
Yeah, but it's all good though, man. Like, yeah, again, just having the opportunity to speak at you as a fan is like, you don't ever have to feel like you're doing a disservice to the fan base if you go somewhere and end up fishing similarly to where you fished somewhere else. I notice too a lot where when you guys team up or you team up on a school of fish and you're just going down the same hole, one guy catches one, mm-hmm. the other guy's dropping in, right? Like that happens in almost all your videos when you're on them. And it's interesting how, you guys don't always have the exact same thing tied on. You know, getting back to, you know, you all have confidence baits on, though. And even though, you know, this guy's fishing a horizontal jig and a plastic and this guy's got a pinhead, you know, interestingly, one thing that I've heard just listening to a lot of great anglers talk, you know, open water or ice fishing is a lot of times, like, each individual fish will have a, like, sort of a personality to it, too, where, you know, if there's 10 fish there, if you're going to convert on all 10, it's not unrealistic to think that you know, five of them would bite a pinhead better than a jig and plastic, and the other five will bite a jig and plastic better than the pinhead, if that makes any sense, right?
No, like, it definitely does. Yeah, because there's definitely instances where that's the case too, especially for the bigger ones, right? Where it's like, like to your point, like if you, okay, there's say 10 of them there and I'm trying to catch them all, but what, you know, put yourself in the scenario when you're sitting on top of a school of 100 fish, but I'm trying to get the five big ones that are in there to eat, not the all the other 7 inchers, you know, like that happens to us a ton. And it's like, yes, I could sit there and get bit a ton of times, or I could catch, you know, higher quality ones at a way less, you know, fast pace.
Yeah.
But like every time I get a bite, it's going to be a big one. And we've leaned into that a lot more too, right? Especially with some of the baits that have become available. And granted, yeah, I mean, we could probably use whatever, but obviously, you know, social media and YouTube, like we're using partner stuff and whatever. But it's like now having the opportunity to help design a bunch of stuff, and like now we have baits like we literally came up with, which is awesome for these exact applications, right? And having that in your back pocket to be like, okay, we're in this exact scenario I just talked about. We need to catch big ones. Now I got this whole box of stuff I can pull up that's like, you know, I'm not gonna have to worry about catching all these bluegills. Like I'm literally targeting big crappies in this school of mixed fish, and there's hundreds of them. And I'm just trying to catch the five giant ones that are in there that I can see. And yeah, but again, like you don't want the first time that you ever tried to do that in that moment when you're like, wow, I really need to figure out how to get these fish to bite. You know, it's like, you know, get some reps with it. And like you said before, it's like, yeah, when you have one of those days when it seems like you can't do anything wrong, that's when you want to pull out new stuff, because you're like, okay, they're eating everything. How do I get them to bite this? Okay, you learn quickly what you have to do to really get a fish to react to it, or what to do when you get denied on it. You know what I mean? So it's like there's a lot of nuance, I think, to like bait cadence in ice fishing specifically, that I think maybe gets overlooked a lot, and people just do the same thing every day. And then some days it works and some days it doesn't, but I like it to work all the time. So I try to, you know,
yeah,
always be kind of varying that up. But yeah, it's crazy to, especially with like how, you know, with live now, it's so interesting to watch somebody fish, like not even use it to necessarily like find them, but it's like, how many times you'd be sitting on a school and like I'm watching Griff or Bart or whatever, and they're like jigging, and like I can see their bait, I can see the fish, I can see how they're reacting to it. And then like when they do something and you're like, ooh, they didn't like that, or like, oh yeah, keep doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And stuff where it's like they might not see it, you know, on their flasher when they're fishing, but it's like I can see it when I'm running live, and I'm like, you just see the mood change when they do different cadences, and then you start to realize like, okay. And like when they're negative, or when you got all these big ones and they're sitting over top of all these little ones, they want something different than when they're just four of them wolf pack together cruising around. So it's, you know, it's like anything, you spend more time in the water, you see a bunch of weird stuff, and it just gets stuck in your brain.
Totally. And all those things, all those individual scenarios, we could do like a whole hour podcast on.
I know.
But I love the chatter. Never to assume that you've dialed it in to the point where there's no more leveling up. It's almost like there's something to be said for like, just like keep putting the pressure on the situation, keep trying to maximize it. Even if you overshoot your shot, you know, you can go back to that hole or go back to that lure or go back to whatever. But it's so fun to try to push the boundaries, to whether it's to get more bites or to get bigger bites. Like you said, getting bigger bites in a situation where getting bit at all is easy, it's hard to make an adjustment when you're just going 10 mm-hmm. in a row and, you know, you just feel like the absolute king. But you know,
right.
There might be a situation, something in your blind spot where you're not realizing that you're in the vicinity of fish that are a lot bigger. And you're just not doing the right thing to make that, you know, to convert on those bigger fish. You know, there's always, yeah, you never want to feel like you can't level a situation up, man. That's where all that learning happens.
Well, you just got to keep learning, right? Because it's like nobody knows everything about this stuff. Because even when you feel like you're on, you're like, oh, dude, I can't do anything wrong today. But like, that's where fishing in a group is fun. And like, I mean, everybody that's seen our show, Griff is like, he is the best at getting him to bite out of anyone in our squad, right? Like he just, especially on a tough bite, like when it's a wide open bite and everyone can catch him, it's okay. But like when it's actually tough, it's like amazing to see like how many hook sets he gets, right? But like when you're on and I'm sitting here and I'm wheeling him, dude, I'm like, I don't think I'd catch him faster. You know what I mean? And then I got another guy sitting on the same school as me, 10 feet to my left, and he's catching him 3-1 on me. And I'm like, okay, like I'm learning, because I'm like, what are you doing? Like, yes, I'm smashing them, but I'm like, you are like extra smashing them. or even when it's bad, like when you're like, man, I'm just struggling to get them to actually engage with a bait. And then you constantly are just hear the drag peeling behind you. And you're like, okay, like I'm going to take a second here and understand what the hell
I feel like that
on.
All the time.
and like, and then people, you know, everyone, if you're good at, like, you kind of take it for granted, like, when you're catching, because you're like, oh, I just feel it down there, and they whack it, I don't know. But it's like you're doing something, you know, differently, usually. And I swear, it's like every day we're out, like, you just are learning something totally new, and it's like I still feel like I only know, like, 10% of what I need to really be, like, dialed in on these fish. But they're just, they do so much weird, like crappies of anything. They just do so much weird stuff all the time that makes no sense.
I wanted to, before we close this out, give some love as always, like seeing you doing the cooking content. And, you know, following your Instagram and watching the Crappie Chronicles where you cook. You were awful generous to your teammates earlier when you said we. I don't know if you knew that, but you said we cook on Crappie Chronicles all the time. You cook on Crappie Chronicles all the time. That was awful generous of you to the boys.
Yeah,
but I laughed. I kind of smiled when you said that. But yeah. But you know, just to maybe even I was gonna plan on asking you for some recipes or whatever, but we don't even have to go that deep into it. But I would love to just you know, I guess I just want to bring that up, and that you know your passion for cooking is, it's just been a huge addition to like that content, but also just you personally, you know, keeping track of your socials, and you're very popular on that stuff. And I think that it's, you know, I think it's well deserved. It's such a cool skill that you have, and just a passion that you have, that to kind of be a well-rounded outdoorsman, and you understand the conservation element where, you know, you're keeping fish, you know, appropriately, and you make super cool meals out of them. I'm just curious if you had any expansion on that, or maybe you do have a recipe ready to go for us, but yeah, man, I just want to get a little bit of an update on your cooking career.
Yeah. I mean, as far as like the fish side of things with like what we're doing at the Chronicles is, it's going good. And like, I mean, I think we probably talked about it last time I was on here, but like we released a cookbook as part of the series that's done pretty well. And I guess I can give you a little nugget, that I am working on another one for that. So I don't have, I probably shouldn't say anything else about when it's coming out based on some other stuff we got going, but it's coming. So watch for that. But yeah, I mean, like, I guess on my side of it, it's like, that's been one area that I've just always excelled in. I just had a lot of interest and passion for the cooking aspect, and not just for like, oh, I caught these fish, I want to cook them, but like, I want to always do something different or new. And like, I want people to, I don't know, I always feel like I could give that wow factor with the food, right? It's like, we're doing all these epic adventures, capturing all this cool stuff, but it's like, I didn't want the food to like fall flat on that. And it's like, I always wanted to be like leveling up that game, and I wanted to give people something they'd never seen before type of thing. Right. And that's really, I mean, that's tough in cooking. I feel like just like people have done so much, right? Like to be like, oh, I'm going to do something nobody's ever literally really done or shown is hard. And like, I do put a lot of time and effort into like creating these things. So, you know, and like some of them are things that are kind of like trendy right now. And we're like, okay, I could probably figure out how to do that with fish. Like those ones are fun, but like just kind of some of the things where it's like stuff that I just, you know, I just go down these rabbit holes and you're stewing on things. And next thing you're messing around in the kitchen trying to, is this even possible type of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because like a lot of this stuff, there's not recipes out there that you can like really search for how to create.
Well, I was curious about that. Like, what is your inspiration?
So that's the one thing. Like, I haven't. So recently, I don't know. I've been on a bit of a dry spell, but like, I consider myself a pretty high like consumer of like YouTube and like Instagram. Not like just like scrolling, right? Like I feel like it's really tart. Like I have, you know, channels that I like to watch for various reasons. You know, some of them are, especially like cooking stuff, like some of them is for the actual cooking aspect of it. Some of it I just like, you know, the format of how they do things. And I'm like, I'd like to incorporate something like that into kind of how I do things. So it's like, I'm pulling inspiration from a lot of places. But like, I am a very, like, this is probably, seems so backwards, but like I'm a very like visual inspired cooking person. like not like I'm gonna like read all these recipes and be like, oh, I like the way they did this or like this technique of that. Like I didn't go to culinary school, right? Like that stuff means nothing to me. But like I see something plated up and I'm like, okay, I like just looking at it, I can be like, okay, I'm pretty sure I know how they kind of made this or that or this. Like obviously the ingredients or whatever, right? Like, because whatever you're trying to create is going to dictate like what you put in it as far as like flavors and things like that. And with the fish stuff, it's a little different. Like I do a lot of wild game cooking stuff also. It's kind of like a whole other thing. But like I've always felt with that, like in the wild game side, it was like I always wanted to do something that was relative to like the place I got it. Or like some, you know what I mean? Like,
oh,
okay,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like shot this antelope and then like in South Dakota and there was like all this, you know, there's all these prickly pear cactus and like it was hotter than hell out there. Like all this stuff. And it's like that factored into like the reason that I made like a jalapeno popper burger with like this, like, you know, cactus salsa thing, right? Like,
oh,
okay, it's kind of
cool.
Got
yeah.
vibe of like what I did there. Like that stuff is cool to me. But like the fish side of things, it's like, well, there's not a lot of stuff going on in like the winter, right?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
true.
Wow, there's all this other stuff. So, you know, bringing that didn't really transfer over. Like this whole, like, I'm going to go on this adventure and it's going to dictate how I cook this thing. This is like totally something else other than the fact that we're catching the fish. And it comes down more to like I will find things that I just think are interesting and it might have nothing to do with fish at all. Just like I get on these rabbit holes and I do a lot of like Asian cooking too. And I feel like I pull a lot of inspiration from just like weird, like, I don't even know how I find some of these pages. You know what I mean? Where you're like, I don't even know what I'm watching right now at 2 a.m, but all of a sudden I'm like seeing this guy like preparing this dish in a certain way. And I'm like, okay, I've never seen anybody like do that with like a knife or like the way they cut something or whatever.
Yeah,
so I'm
like a
okay, that, right. And it's like, I think that like maybe the recipe I didn't connect with, but I was like that one thing for whatever reason jumped out to me. And I'm like, how do I use that in something? And then I start spinning my tires on, okay, how can I incorporate that into something? But like, I'll just cut like this year. Right. So we did these smash burger tacos are real popular right now, right? All mm-hmm. over social media.
Oh yeah.
Place. And I'm like, no one was doing these like as a fish taco, right? And like that's probably one of the most requested things we get all the time is more fish taco recipes. And it's like I feel like I could do 100 fish taco recipes and people are gonna go, do you have a fish taco recipe? And
yeah,
it's
yeah.
for, you know, it's just like crazy. And I'm like, especially because they're one of the easiest things to make, but I was like, okay, I'll bite. So we did like a smash fish taco, like a Caesar, what the hell do you call it? It was basically a smash taco with like a Caesar salad in the middle is like what the filling was, right? So it was like a fish smash burger taco wrapped around a Caesar salad, if that makes sense. They were incredible, super good. But that was one of those ones where it was like, okay, I just know that these are popular right now. And I was like, I could do this pretty easily with fish, right? Flip that over to one that was like, okay, got my, because like, that was cool. And it's like, I wouldn't say on the hard scale, I would say that was like a 1 out of 5, right? Like, but like literally next episode, we make these, sorry, I keep throwing the we up.
Yeah, you're giving them too much credit.
So I make these crappie cordon bleu veals. And this was one that I'd been, this was like, it's crazy, like, from the time it's like, oh, this is an idea to like when I actually maybe create one. But I've been looking at this one for like two seasons now where I was like, okay, I want to dial this in, like make this. Because it's one thing to like make it and be like, oh, that was okay. But like to make it and be like, yeah, crushed it. Like that's how you do this.
Yeah, like that's a recipe.
Know? Right. And that one was one that I was like, I was a little just like on the fence, like how I'm going to do this appropriately and whatever. And we do like a lot of the filming stuff kind of behind the scenes, you know, where we try to talk about like, okay, how do we make this like a coherent thing? Because like, I'm not going to sit here and like measure everything. Like this is not like that kind of cooking show. So like, and when we do the cooking segments of it, it's like, it's me and Bart, like is, you know, we've just done it together so long and it's like, we know what we have to capture and like where I need to do certain stuff. So it's like, we'll chat about it quicker. I'm like, okay, I'll give them the rundown of like, okay, here's how this is going to go. Like you need to be here for this and this and this. And okay, cool. And this one, I was kind of, you know, this was, I had the idea, but it was still kind of on the fly. Like, we're at this, you know, Airbnb. I have limited cooking supplies based on what I brought. So it was like, okay, well, we'll make this work. And a lot of the recipes that we've gone to on our show are really like taking fish, running it through a food processor, and then creating it into something. Just because it's just opened the door to so many opportunities as far as recipes go. Because you just can't do, I mean, it sounds bad, but it's like you limit yourself so much by just using like fillets of fish. Because there's so many more things you can do with it. So this was a great example of that. Like, I was like, okay, if I run the fish through a food processor, I can mix it kind of like a lot of things you see out there, like fish cakes, fish burgers, stuff like that, where you're kind of trying to create this like hot, dense fish thing. But I was like, I want to create that, but then I want like the chicken cordon bleu version of that, where it's like, you know, I want the ham, I want the cheese, I want this thing like rolled like into a nice spiral and then like breaded and like fried. Like I had this whole vision in my head of like what I wanted it to look like, which is generally how my ideas start, is I'm like, I want this to look awesome. And now I need to figure out how to make it taste good. Like,
yeah, so you eat with your eyes first, right? You hear that a lot if you consume like cooking content. Yeah,
but at least that's how like I come up with my ideas, right? I'll see something in a cookbook or in a video or whatever, and I'm like, oh, I like how that looked. But I'm like, oh, if I did it with, okay, I could maybe do this as a fish thing, and okay, it's going to have to look a little different than that. But like, we'll get there, you know? So a lot of it's visual, because I like making things that look awesome. That's just like, it's maybe the artist in me coming out. That's like, I want this to look cool. And I know that I'm crafty enough to make it taste good also. So it's like kind of going down that, but I would say, yeah, I'm just always on the hunt for the next thing, you know? And I keep, if you could only see like my notes app and my phone, your mind would just be blown. Like,
I think that's awesome. Yeah.
What man. Kind of things I got scheming over here, but yeah, I could throw, let me just give you a little, I mean, like I always am trying to throw recipes around, and not like I've actually, like I forever was like, let's just do them for videos. I didn't, you know, people message me all the time about recipes, and I feel like a little guilty, like not just like responding to people about it all the time, but it's like writing recipes is like not easy. And like a lot of the things I do are not via a recipe. It's like, I just do it. I feel like I know how to do it. Right. If I'm making it, I can just make it the same every time. But like, if someone goes, oh, can you send me that? Like, if it's not one I already wrote down, it's like probably not going to, it's such a process to like actually write it. And then not only write it, but write it in a way that I can give it to somebody that has no context and they can make it right. That, because that was when I wrote my cookbook, that was the hardest part.
I bet.
Because I was like, I know how to make it, but I need to give it to someone that doesn't know how to make it, and they have to make it right. So, but I started, so that was the thing. I felt bad because people were always hitting me up about, like, I'd post something that looked cool, and they're like, hey, can you send me this? And I tried my hardest, but it's just, like, not feasible. But, so I'm like, okay, cookbook, get that, you know, start there. But I started putting out a lot of recipes in other places. So I've been kind of partnering up with Outdoor News recently, and they've been publishing a bunch of my recipes in their paper, which has been really cool. And then also that you heard of like Outdoor Edge, like they list like knives and stuff.
Yeah.
So they do a piece called Wild Game Wednesdays, where they throw up like all different recipes or whatever, and they're publishing some of my stuff over there too, which has been really cool. Just to kind of like have different outlets for people, like kind of see what stuff that I do, I guess. So, and I think it's definitely helped grow my audience a little bit, and like I'm getting some people from like other, like people that are not watching the Crappie Chronicles, right? Like they're finding it through other places. But I guess I was just scrolling to see if I had a quick one I could throw at you, just that like I did recently that I think would just be killer. Okay. So this one, so I already kind of leaked this whole South Dakota thing. So I'm just going to throw one out here that, this was actually super cool. And this was one where like some of these ones I'll like I spend a lot of time on, like trying to get it really dialed in. And then some of them, I'm like, in my head, I already feel like I know how to make it, so I'll just do it. Like for a video, like I first time I ever made it was on the video type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of those. But so okay, so I have you ever been to like Texas Roadhouse?
Oh yeah,
you know what that is?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was there not that, I've been there before, but I was there, me and my girlfriend went not that long ago, and we stopped in there. She loves that place, and they have these things called rattlesnake bites there. I guess if you've never had one, they're basically like it's a deep fried cheese ball, essentially with like some jalapenos in it, and they're like breaded, and they're really good. And for whatever reason, I was like infatuated with these things, and I'm like, that like, I want to make something with like fish, but like this.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. It hit me weird. And so we work with Catch and Cook. So like Jay Siemens and Josh McFadden, they, you know, operate that whole company, and they make some cool stuff. Right. And so that's a partnership that we've had with the Chronicles for a long time. And he threw at me. So we're at the St. Paul Ice Show, and he's telling me about these new breadings they have. And he's like, he gives me this one, and it's a dill pickle breading. And he's like, I'm pumped to see what you're going to make with this. And I like right away, I'm like, what the hell am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, sure. Like I get if you're just doing a fish fry, but this was like kind of, I'm on this thought process of like, I need to make something like unique, cool with this. Okay. So we're in South Dakota at this place, and it's, I don't want to give too much away because we did some other cool stuff with it, but I'm like, okay, I need to make a side thing to go with this other thing we're making. So I come up, this is my idea that I've been stewing on for like 2 weeks, and I'm like, all right, I'm just going to make these. So we called them spicy dill pickle crappie bites. They turned out phenomenal. They were like a major hit with everybody that tried them. And essentially all it was I just took crappie fillets, and I seasoned them up with like basically salt, pepper, garlic. I mean, I used some whatever Catch and Cook garlic seasoning, but it's basically salt, pepper, garlic, right? Just cooked them in a pan, super easy. Like no breading, nothing, just a little oil in a pan till they were just cooked, cooled them down. And then I broke up all the meat and basically took a bowl, and I had shredded pepper jack cheese and shredded Colby Jack in there. Mixed it with the meat, threw in a little bit of red pepper flakes, and then you basically just compress it into as tight of like a big like dough wad, like it's, you know, the size of like a 6-inch ball of all this cheese and fish, whatever. Just like packed it down and then basically threw it in the freezer till it got like fairly firm, and then just took them out, made them into like ping pong ball size ones, really tightly packed balls. And then we just breaded them in this dill pickle breading and then deep fried them. And they were, dude, I'm talking incredible. Like think of almost like a Rangoon type, like melty cheese thing. But it's also like cross that with like a deep fried pickle. They were unreal, and I probably didn't explain that good, but there will be a video about it. so
that's the key for anybody that doesn't, like, I tracked you pretty well on that. I thought you did a decent job for it. So for anybody that didn't track you well, that'd be the beauty of it, is that on one of the upcoming episodes of Crappie Chronicles, they can see it in real life. Spicy, but that actually sounds great. Yeah, dude
they, like I said, I hadn't even actually made them prior to making this video. Like I had the idea, and like I knew that it would work, right? But I'm just like, okay, if I put all this together, like I know what the outcome's gonna be, and we just did it straight up, and they were so freaking good. It's like the ultimate bar snack, right? To be like having a beer and smashing these things, and so good, and definitely won't be the last time I make them. But I would say, you know, just like trying just random stuff sometimes is well worth the effort. And I mean, I know a lot of the things I make are things that probably no one will make. Like I know that.
Yeah, you'd be surprised, fun. Though. You'd be surprised.
Well, I know, but I'm just like, you know, some of these things are, they're like difficult or whatever. And it's like, most people don't go through the effort and it's fine. Like it matters to me. I get posed the question all the time. Like whenever we do like meetups or like we do a seminar at the St. Paul Ice Show. And like, I get questions about like, what's your favorite fish recipe? Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm like, I don't know. Cause I feel like I really don't like repeat a lot. Like, you know, there's a couple things I make periodically just cause I think they're good, but I'm like, is that the best? Probably not. But I just feel like once I've done something, I'm like, I check that box.
Yeah. You don't even, yeah. That's where like the whole recipe thing, all I was thinking about was I don't use recipes in my own kitchen either. And when I make something and it turns out like phenomenally good and it's the first time I tried to make it, I'm almost completely SOL to ever do it again because I didn't write it down or like,
you know.
And my brain is already thinking like how I can utilize that technique to do something else,
to make the next thing.
I want to make the next thing. And so like, I'm terrible like that.
No, I hear you. It's like, it's a weird deal, but yeah, the food thing has been really fun. And I only see it growing more and more from here. And like, like I said, I cook everything, right? I do a lot of wild game stuff, a lot of fish stuff. I cook like regular stuff. Like, yeah, people get it twisted. Like all I ever do is like all this weird stuff. And I'm like, I make like regular food all the time. But like,
yeah, you buy ground beef too. Like you've got, you probably have, you know, you make ribeyes.
Like, I
make
like chicken sometimes. Like it's all good.
Yeah.
And, but like this fish like lane has really been where I've probably had the most growth and like just excelling in creativity. Just because there's not a lot out there. Like, I mean,
agree with
there
that.
Is, but like at this, there is, but like, there's also, there's not. Cause like, for instance, you know, like I said, I've been working kind of with the outdoor news, people a little bit, and they've been super cool about publishing some of my stuff, but it's like, I go on there. So they like archive all of their, it's called Taste of the Wild is their like, you know, bit of their paper that is relative to cooking. You go on there and they got elk, deer, moose, antelope, all these recipes. And like, you search by species and there's just lists everywhere. You go to fish. There's like, other than mine, there's like three other recipes. This paper has been around for longer than I've been alive, I think. And I'm like, they got four fish recipes in here? Like, what? you know what I mean? Man. So it was just like one of these things where I'm like, okay, this is like under exposed, whatever. I don't know. Like, there's nobody that's really just like hitting home runs in this area. And I just felt like, okay, this is somewhere where I feel passionate and creative and like, I start doing it. And then like, you know, people are reaching out to me, like I'm the guy and I'm like, okay, I don't know about that, but like, I think I'm doing things different than a lot of people are in the fish cooking space right now, especially for people that are not like, you know, chefs at a restaurant, right? Like you can go to all these fine dining places around the Twin Cities, right? They're making all kinds of crazy food there, but I'm like, this is not relatable to people. Like I want stuff that people can make in their own kitchen and they don't feel like they got to go and spend $100 on dinner to go get something cool made out of fish. I'm like, you know, most of the stuff we buy is just at the regular grocery store at the freaking gas station to make most of the stuff. So it's like, that's just kind of one of the things that I always wanted to make sure I was doing was like making the stuff one creative and new, and then also making it like attainable for like the average dude or like even younger people, like, because that's why I was like, I just wanted like people to be like, you know, cooking's cool, right? Like I want younger people to latch on, and we have a great audience of like younger kids that, you know, are sending me pictures all the time of this cool stuff that they're cooking, and like that's what keeps me fired up. You know, I'm like, people are making this, and I get DMs like people are like, hey, I made this for my kid's birthday party, or like over the holidays, are like making some of my recipes for like their family Christmas or like their Thanksgiving, and it like blows my mind, right?
Yeah, dude.
Like that they would like deviate from their like traditions of like their family thing to like do something that like I came up with in my kitchen. Like, that's crazy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, in some cases, you don't want them to know the backstory, you know, like, yeah, it's like, you know, it's funny. I came up with that at 4 a.m. when I was kind of on a bender and I was doing the death scroll on YouTube and I saw this guy. Yeah, I saw this guy chopping up a, you know, like a like an emu steak, and I love the way I love the knife technique he had, and so I turned that into a fish cake, and it's like, and now this guy's over here making it for his family Christmas, and it's like, dude, this is the Twilight Zone, but dude, that's so real, that is so real, man. I'm in that so too. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, and I just, you know, that's what kind of gets me fired up, and it's like, I love doing the fishing stuff we're doing and all this stuff too, but it's like the cool part about the cooking is like I get to see like the direct impact it has. And like there's people that are literally like spinning these recipes around and like, you know, they're making it for their family and then they're like, oh my God, will you make that again and again and again? And I'm like, just to have been a part of that is super cool.
Heck yeah. So yeah. Yeah. And if you were going to make a YouTube video, you could just do the standard old egg wash, batter, fish fry, and it'd have like 10 million views on it.
Right.
So there's always, right. It's like, man, it, the whole world is a weird place, but man, the stuff you're doing is like, yeah, man, I think it's a lot of that stuff is like, it's, I'm a huge fan of it. I like it. I like cooking and I just like that thinking outside the box slightly just to do something a little bit new every once in a while. Like there's just a lot of reward in that. And, you know, just kind of paying a little homage to the fish you catch, right? It's like, we enjoy the process of hunting down and finding fish and getting a bucket of fish and cutting them up. And yeah, man, it's, having the confidence to go try a new recipe adds to it a whole bunch. You probably have a better chance of people asking you like, huh, what kind of fish is this or what's that, right? Like as anglers, we just want company to ask us that so bad, because we'd be like, well, funny you say that, because man, we were over here doing this and this with my buddies and we got on them really good and we waylaid them. And yeah, it's just like a hunting story.
Cool thing about the outdoor community too, right? Is like you go to these places and you meet all these cool people, and then as soon as you start talking stories, like people get all tight-lipped about, oh, where did they fish at and this, and how, oh, we were just on this trip. Well, how, you know, did you catch them doing this? No one wants to give all the details. Hunting, same thing. You start talking about the food, though, and it just starts coming out, dude. Like people are, they're dealing family recipes, and they want to tell you everything, all this stuff. It's just like, That's the one thing that I think is just like the commonality between like all these people in the outdoor space is like everybody loves good food. Yep. They love cooking the stuff they caught or killed or whatever. And it's like, it is just this totally like other world that once I kind of started going down that road, I'm like, this is like, there's something here. And like, we always joke, you know, me and my buddies and stuff, where, cause I always keep telling like, whatever, I've been just an absolute degenerate about putting out my own videos, but I'm trying to get better about it. But because they're all, I got a good group of guys around me and they all push me that to do that stuff. And I'm like, it's coming. But yeah, I mean, like you see, sometimes it's tough to get into some of these areas, but like cooking is one of those where it's like, it seems like everybody's winning in cooking right now. And like, the more and more people want to be making their own food, and you know, like just like knowing where your stuff's coming from is just so big and important right now that like, I just think more than ever, people are looking for that type of information, content, or just like inspiration. Like I said, I don't even really read that many recipes, but I don't even know how many freaking cookbooks, you know, and I thumb through them periodically just to get some inspiration on the way somebody plated something up, or like, oh, that looks good, how they did that, and type of thing. So I hope for some people, like I'm that for them too, you know.
Heck yeah.
They kind of see some of my stuff, and even if they don't make what I did, maybe it gets them thinking a different route, because everyone likes different stuff too. Like I get it. Like maybe you make my recipe, but you didn't like the seasonings of this and you changed it. So like, I get that all the time. People are like, oh, I made it like this, but I changed it. I'm like, sweet. Like that's perfect, you know?
Yeah.
So, because at the end of the day, it's just food, you know, like even if you mess it up, it's still probably edible. So
yeah. Yeah. You just got to be willing to get after it. Yeah. Well, cool, man, dude, I appreciate it all, man. I'm always paying attention to that stuff. And, yeah, dude, it's wild. I think that, Yeah, the industry needs you to keep leaning into that stuff. I think it's good. And we need more people, you know? It's like we need more YouTube channels, you know, coming in to do, you know, just to grow the base. You know, it's like you're like one man, like literally it is kind of on your shoulders. I mean, there are, I'm not aware of any other like really good examples of anybody that leans into the, in the Midwest anyways, you know, that's like relatable, like regionally,
right.
You know, that relates to, you know, yeah, like the ice fishing stuff.
But I think that's why I put the pressure on myself too, to be like, all right, like I got to keep this going, you know, like I can't quit now. So.
That's we won't let you. I'm gonna keep asking you about it. If you haven't cooked in a while, yeah, I'm gonna be like, coming. Hey, what's up, man? Like, I know you're cooking at home, so
always, man. Yeah, everybody's gotta eat.
Yep. Cool, man. Well, dude, I feel like I'm taking up all your time, and but I appreciate it, man. I as always, anytime I talk to you or any of the boys, I've got some juicy topics picked out for Griff. I gotta track him down. In the short term, I've got some topics I've been buzzing across his bow, and he's down for it. So we just got to get lined up. But I appreciate the, you know, the fishing chatter.